T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dawson's got a lot of options. They have assets. I'm told they have been really aggressive out in the marketplace. I'm told they don't want to have 3 rookies on the team. You could expect one way or another, at least one, maybe 2 of those picks end up somewhere else.
Dale Arnold.
Can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question here.
You can switch gears with me anytime.
Rich Keefe.
He cut off Mark James' balls and turned them into a stromboli.
Oh, damn!
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Kevin Durant.
Holder.
Yeah,
right. Holder.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Great job right off the top, Jason Rossi. Way to set the tone. Good sponsor read there. This is Dale and Keefe. Once again, no Dale today. We got Jermaine Wiggins and Andy Hart, Rossi and Shine producing the show. Dale will be back tomorrow, so fear not, Dale
the
fans.
Dalian is coming.
Dalian will be back. A well-rested Dalian.
Well-rested.
He's going to be shot out of a cannon tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Made his way to the outer galaxies to fuel up.
How do you combat a Dalian? What do you do?
I think you're going to need like a venom or something like that.
Some sort of venom.
Yeah, you're going to need something to eliminate the Dalian. If you ever seen the Alien on
I have
the thing,
seen Alien.
Yeah, it's very difficult to...
Andy Hart, these are movies that we're talking about. I know you haven't...
It's very difficult.
My interest is being vocalized.
Oh, okay. Is that right?
Wow.
Is that what... I haven't heard any of it.
No.
I haven't heard any of it yet.
We can't help that you've never seen the Dalian in person.
It turns out that Andy Hart, not the only person that wants to leave the Patriots. Turns out there's somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Now, are you reporting that, or is that your opinion?
I read this on the internet. Actually, it's the Boston Globe. It's Ben Volen. We are efforting Ben Volen. If he'd like to join us, he can. We are reached out to him.
He went on the air in Houston. He better come on the air in Boston.
He better come on the air is right.
Get your ass on the phone, Ben.
But he has a story in the Boston Globe, and the headline is, "The Real Story in the Patriots-Texans Clash, : Nick Caserio Wants Out."
Wow.
All right, so we can get into whether it's an opinion piece or not coming up, but let's just take it let's just take it as gospel that Nick Caserio wants out. If that's true, what does that mean?
It means it's going to be an interesting year, depending on how this plays out, because you have, there's no one, Belichick's talked about it endlessly, that does more in the Patriots organization. Anyone who's been down there has seen it, whether it's on the practice field, throwing the football. In the coach's booth on game days with a headset directly to McDaniels as his go-to guy, eyes and ears in the sky, or the more traditional aspect of the job, picking players, scouting, when they need some third-string tight end who's available, get somebody in here by practice on Wednesday. So, he's Bill's right-hand man, and if your right-hand man is no longer sort of just following your every move happily, that's weird.
But I don't think he's not following his every move. I think it's like most people, right? You know, in any job that you get to, you want to start climbing up the ladder, and then you want to get to a point where you have, I think the thing that Nick wants more than anything is he wants full autonomy. When you work with Bill has veto power. He's the man with the gold. He's saying, hey, here's what we're going to do. Even though Nick might go, I really like this guy, Bill. I really like this guy. Bill might go, well, no, we're not going to sign him. And I think that's ultimately where Nick is in his career. He wants to be the man in charge.
Yeah, because we've heard a lot of those stories where they do all this draft prep, like Caserio and the scouts and everybody. Yep. And they're like, this is who we want. And Bill's like, that's great, Tavon Wilson.
Right.
What the hell? Tavon Wilson. We didn't have him on our
but
board.
But until you get to the point, and Andy, you know this from being around football, until you get to that point of you are the only one, as far as the GM or the director of player personnel, whatever it is, when you're the guy in charge, until you're that guy, you know there's always got to be somebody that you're going to answer to. And the thing I would say about this, here's a little nugget that you might, this might blow your heads off.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, here we go. I'm ready.
Do we need a breaking news?
Yeah, Ross, you hit the sounder if you don't mind. Not breaking news. It's not breaking news. This is a breaking opinion.
Breaking opinion. And here's,
he needs to know the difference.
Here's the opinion.
Yeah.
Is that Bill Belichick keeping Nick Caserio around is doing Nick a good thing.
Wait a minute.
The reason why Bill's saying, listen, Nick.
So you don't think he wants out?
I think he does want out, but I think what Bill's saying is, hey, listen, Nick, I'm going to help you out here. You can't leave just yet.
You're going to stay.
You're going to stay because I'm going to tell you how it's going to benefit you staying. If you go to Houston, there's probably a good chance that
you'll double your salary.
No.
Right, and you'll get to pick the players and make the trades. No one to answer to.
No. He's going to still have to answer to Bill O'Brien because Bill O'Brien is still a part of that.
No.
And then you got to also understand that Bill O'Brien's probably got one more year left there. And so now when it comes to them, they're going to clean house.
Well, then he can pick the next coach, but he might do that. That's a big responsibility for a GM.
I think he's going down there. I think he's going to Houston more so with him and Bill O'Brien as kind of like trying to duplicate.
He might take McDaniels with
him. The Belichick Brady thing. I don't think Houston.
That opinion or?
The owner of the Houston Texans is going, we want you, and if we do fire Bill O'Brien, we still want you here. I think it's kind of their.
There's no way he's getting fired if he goes to Houston. They just fired a guy after one year.
I know that. So he's there for the good.
Now, what you're questioning is, is he going to Houston to work with Billy O'Brien because that's what he wants to do?
Right.
Or is he going to Houston to run the Houston Texans and if that's with or without Billy O'Brien?
And if the owner comes to him after the season and goes, or you know, whenever he gets there and goes, hey, Nick, it's time for Billy O'Brien to go. You need to fire him and find somebody new. I look at it like, is he getting that power in Houston? Or is he still going down there and kind of in the same role that he's in with Belichick? You know, where it's, at the end of the day, like you just said, Keith, it's, oh, we did all this research, this, that, and the other. Now we want Tavon Wilson.
But if he doesn't think Bill's doing him a favor, it's not going to feel like a favor. Right?
True.
But I think what Ben wrote is he not only wants out of New England, he wants the Houston Texans job.
He specifically wants Houston.
But I don't know if he necessarily wants that job. I think that's what Ben wrote. That's what he's saying. But I think
some question as to the validity of that or whether it's opinion. But don't you think that
he just wants to be a GM and have complete power? I don't think it's
because he could have gone to Miami 3 years ago, full power GM.
Does this have anything to do with the sort of the mass exodus of coaches?
Well, maybe, but also,
I mean, some of those guys got promotions.
But you ask why some familiarity with O'Brien and Easterby.
Right,
that could be alluring to him more so than Miami.
Right,
Jack Easterby stuff, I know you find fascinating.
We need to get into that because I just don't understand it.
But him, you say why now, and I think that has a big part to play in it. It's like anything with coaches or when they're trying to go somewhere like, for example, Brian Flores. I always said that. I don't know if it was the best move for him to go to Miami. Right, I still think he was going to be a coach that was sought after.
Yes.
And wait for that right opportunity where you know in the NFL it's not like college football where they give you 5-6 years.
Yeah, but they'll give you two. And if you flame out your first one, he'll get a second one.
But the first one is cleaning house and resetting. So that means you got to win in the second or you're out.
And the likelihood of one year.
Yeah. Because the first year is a reset.
Right.
You're not going to win the first year.
So they don't have to win in Miami. Year one, and he's still going to have the job.
Year two, you got to win or you might be out.
Yes. So I think
it depends on how it goes, though. Like, Matt Patricia, like, he should probably already be out.
But if Matt Patricia has a bad year this year, you don't think there's a good chance that they're calling for his head?
No, they should. They should have this year. I don't think the team didn't really respond well to him. They actually got worse. There's a big difference of joining a team that was 9-7 and joining a team that was
that was Matt Patricia's first year. So like Andy said, the first year
Stafford regressed. The defense was worse. The defense was worse.
But that's a problem. It's about getting your guys in there and you saying this, that, and the other.
He brought in all former Patriots.
These are not my players. They're not going to buy in. So in the NFL, you don't have, like, you ain't getting 5-6 years as a coach.
No, as
a GM, you might get, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years. And if you can't get it done, see you later.
But if you're waiting around for the perfect opportunity, that just may never happen either. I mean, think about all the jobs that are available every year. There's like between 5, 6, 7, 8 jobs available every year.
But there's always one good one. Like, for example, the Indianapolis Colts, right? Josh McDaniels now.
Yeah, but we didn't know that was a good job. Andrew Luck wasn't playing at that point.
Throwing mini Nerf balls.
That is true, but I think you would probably have a good idea from talking to the doctors and that kind of thing.
Is
he going to be able to get back to normal? Or the Green Bay Packers, right? That's a good situation.
Although there's some stuff going on. Maybe LaFleur and Rodgers aren't getting along already. But as Ben Volen writes in the article, because this obviously the Patriots filed tampering charges against the Texans to keep him there. So he says the Patriots may have won this round, but keeping Caserio isn't the real story here. The real story is this. Nick Caserio wants out of New England. Specifically, he wants that Texans job, even though it was more of a lateral move than a true promotion. And to prevent Caserio from leaving, the Patriots had to enforce a clause in his contract and file tampering charges. Caserio's deal reportedly runs through the 2020 NFL draft. Now, what I'm confused by is a clause in his contract?
Yes.
Isn't he just under contract
yeah,
for another year?
Contract. I don't get it.
What does that mean?
All these contracts have, you know, bullet point 27.
Yeah, but
that
if
says,
I'm Bill, I wouldn't let him go either. I'd be like, no.
They've had too much turnover, right?
Yeah, I'm not,
don't
I'm
you
Bill,
need to keep them? Because I also would say.
You want to go, you can go.
Yeah, but that's not. I mean, the NFL, the way it works is if you go to a high level executive position and you're not a high level executive, they have to allow you to interview for that or the basic language of that. Now, there's some question as to whether his contract supersedes the NFL rules. And, you know, Florio's written a little bit about this on Pro Football Talk. But my question here, first of all, goes back to the tampering.
Yeah.
Jack, how did the Patriots find out that the Texans tampered?
My guess would be Caserio.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So if that's true, then he doesn't really want to leave, right? He's not going to say, by the way, Bill, they've been tampering with me.
I don't think he would go that far.
I think he might have been talking to Bill because thinking like, okay.
Wouldn't he say, hey, I want to go to the Texans?
Right. And, I've,
and they're like, how do you know the Texans want you?
But he knows the rules. He knows how the leagues work. If he really wants to go there, he is going to
cover all bases. Wait, so are you buying into Wiggy's theory that he doesn't want to leave?
I think you can spin it that way. I mean, there's a lot of signs, and I got to think, listen, when you read things that are written as fact sometimes, even if the author then says their sort of opinion, sometimes you have sources that say, listen, you cannot cite this. You can't say you got it from a league source, an agent, anything. Just write it as fact. That happens in the journalism business. People write things as fact that people don't know are fact, but they have a source.
Right.
Like Bob Lamont, his agent. For all I know, he had a nice long conversation. Ben Volen had a nice long conversation with Bob Lamont, and Bob's like, yeah, Nick really wants out of there. He wants this Texans job. But you can't cite me. You can't say you talked to anyone.
By the way, the whole point of Bob Lamont is an interesting one, too, because Nick Caserio was working without an agent for a long time.
But,
so why would you get an agent?
And he's also the guy that Josh McDaniels was fired by after he jilted the Colts.
But Andy, doesn't
I'd
that...
fire him, too.
But doesn't, like, the story coming out, doesn't it also now give you some leverage if it is about money? If you are the Patriots and you go, hey, he really wants to go to Houston, here's what we need to do, Robert Kraft. We need to pay this guy more money.
So you think he pulled a McDaniels and, listen, I got an offer. Maybe you want to keep me.
Well, I believe that's part of it because at the end of the day, right, it's when you look at it, it's about the money, right? He wants to obviously be the GM and have complete control, but he knows by having.
We don't know what he wants because he's chosen to stay for a while now.
That's true. He's been on the staff for 19 years.
Maybe it's,
of course, this position for 11, but he's been on the staff for 19 years.
I mean, it's the same thing when I was there in 2000 and 2001 when Josh McDaniel and these guys were there.
Yep.
They were just going to the airport and picking up guys, you know, and getting coffee and stuff like that.
I literally used to meet Nick and Josh in the coffee room. I was an intern.
You guys were the same level.
I feel like they've done more since then.
They've moved on a little bit. Well, so have you. Here you are.
It's because I'm not making millions.
Doing pretty well.
Nothing wrong here. I'm hanging out with a couple cool guys.
It could potentially be about.
But do you look at this at all as there's a problem with the Patriots? Or is it just if it's
the problem? Say Nick left tomorrow. Say something comes out and Houston sends a fourth round pick and Nick Caserio is the GM.
So this would be my one concern, I guess, is I feel like Belichick's basically have to run the defense this year, more so than previous years.
Mm-hmm.
He's already does so much as the head coach. He does stuff with the player personnel, but Nick had so much responsibility, and now that's also on Bill. So now you have Bill, who's whatever he is, 66, and he's going to have to do literally
everything.
I don't
know, Monty Austinfort's not ready to ascend. They blocked him from interviewing with the Texans last year.
That's true.
Maybe they
the
say,
Texans
you know what?
Texans got to cool it, don't
Soon
they?
As Well,
lay off the guy. Get your own team.
Success comes from New England.
Get
but
your
I,
own
I think there's plenty of guys in that organization that do a lot. Like, everybody's saying Bill has a lot on his table. I understand he's the head coach, so he has some stuff on his table. But he has, like, think about this. He has, like, a million assistants coming to him and saying, okay, Bill, here's what we got. Here are the guys that we broke down. Tell me about this player. Tell me about that. It's not like he's out there watching video of this guy and, you know, going through the all-22 of this kid down at, you know, University of Chicago or something.
And if he
that.
Doesn't watch it, no one else will.
Right.
No, there's a whole layer. We don't know them. I mean, I know the names. I don't need to list them because no one really cares. But what does Bill do everywhere? Coaches, front office. It's the same thing. He promotes from within. I guarantee you he has somebody
ready
that he
to
would
go.
And that's why the Greg
Schiano
thing was weird. Now, he came and went in a blink of an eye, but that was an odd thing. I know they're buddies, but that doesn't normally happen.
And even, like, the Mayo thing is interesting, the way he was not within. I mean, he was a media guy working for,
Quickslicks.
You know.
He and Tommy Kerr.
Yeah, but he had played for Bill, and Bill always has these guys, right? Bill always has these handful of guys that have played for him before that he has great respect for, and he thinks that they can, you know, they would be great coaches, and they would do this. And it seems like Mayo is one of those guys that he had great respect for.
No question.
Because we've seen it before where guys have wanted to coach and that have played for Bill, but Bill hasn't hired them.
Right. But we've also seen, like, Pepper Johnson played for him. I'm sure Bill respected him.
He got leapfrogged by Patricia.
And then he was in the system and just kept getting stuck as a linebacker's coach.
Well,
couldn't ascend to coordinator.
That could be Mayo. We don't know that, but we know that he said to Mayo, like, hey, listen, come on, you want to come coach? At least he has the respect for Mayo, and he had the respect for Pepper as former players to say, I think you guys would be good coaches, but you're only going to a certain level. Well, I don't think you can ascend to another.
But Mayo's starting on, like, second base, literally. Like, he's calling plays.
Yes.
There's a chance he calls plays on game days this fall.
He was
arguing with Tom Curran last year, and now he's
that's
calling.
That's a big spot, too.
Well, that's,
big spot
for him. That's because he has that certain respect for him.
Well, he did, because, I mean, if you remember, he was a captain year two.
Right
out of the gates, he was, like, respected, leader of the defense, captain. McCourty's got a little bit of the same sort of track record. Yeah, and there's no question Bill trusts him, but generally Bill still makes you prove it.
Yeah, he's still got to climb the ladder a little bit.
To go from media to potentially calling plays, that's a big jump.
Yeah, and you don't really see that.
Could you call offensive plays tomorrow?
Yes, I could. I could.
I mean, what did you think the answer was going to be to that?
A lot of throws to the tight end.
No.
Pass.
I was somebody, because I wasn't the biggest, the fastest player out there, I always had to know the game inside and out. So I would learn how the defense were playing defense.
So you could be an offensive coordinator in the league right now?
Yes. All day long.
He says that with all seriousness.
No, he's dead serious.
All day long.
He definitely could.
Because
have you called Flores?
Huh? No. I mean, but it's like you said, Andy. I don't want to start out holding up show team cards and chasing ghosts till 3 a.m. and writing down, you know, you want me to go the Mayo route, hey, I'm all for it.
Go dial up some plays.
Slide right in.
What
would your offense look like?
My offense,
would you just change it, or would you go with what they got right now?
It would be very similar to what the Patriots run, because I like that offense. There's a lot of different things you could do there. There's play action. There's a spread them out. You can run the football.
Mine would be more like Hawaii from the mid-2000s. Like Timmy Chang, five wide, just throw every single down.
The other running
Mike
shoot.
Leach.
Shoot. Just go out there and throw 50 times a game.
So the last line in the Ben Volen article, he says, despite the appearance of harmony and joy in Foxborough following a sixth Super Bowl championship, perhaps things aren't as rosy and perfect as they appear.
I feel like that perhaps or seems like should have gone earlier in the article, not where it said, the real story is this, : Nick Caserio wants out of New England because Ben has said elsewhere. And
We'll get to that coming up. He did an interview in Houston.
Seems to be backing
and we'll talk
off
about that.
A little bit.
He seems to be backing off just a little bit. We'll get to that coming up. But my point is on this. So you have a guy who's been on the staff for such a long time and probably is viewed across the league as somebody who's very good player personnel-wise and could have even a bigger role. Oh, he wants to do that? Isn't that what it's supposed to do? Like, if you had a really good backup quarterback, he wants to leave probably.
Right?
Actually, that even happened. Like, if you have really good coordinators, like Brian Flores left for a head coaching job, I don't look at it like, oh my God, they're losing guys. They're losing guys. That's a good thing.
But to be fair, look at the Garoppolo thing. Bill kept him as long as he felt like he possibly could. Stretched it into a mid-season thing.
I get why Belichick would want to keep Caserio. He's under contract for one more year. You already had all these other guys leave. You're going to help us out for one more year, one more trade deadline, and then you're a free agent, as much as that
guys. Nobody wants to just be, you know, whatever it is they get into the league to do. Yeah. Like when Caserio got in, his ultimate goal probably one day was to be a GM.
Right.
The same way McDaniel's goal ultimately one day was to be a head coach. Nobody wants to go into the league and go, you know what, I'm going to be happy with just being the wide receivers coach or a, you know,
and so the
high
thing
level
to me,
scout.
I always look at these as a positive. Like when McDaniels is doing interviews or if Caserio wants out, that means they're getting the sense that Belichick isn't going anywhere. And that's always a good thing. Now, I could be wrong. That might not be how it reads. Maybe they just don't want to be here and then we'll get the guy who replaces Belichick. But I always view it as, well, you're stable here. You've won a lot. You like the owner and all this other stuff. And if Bill leaves, there's the next guys up. Casario's running the player personnel. McDaniels is running is the head coach of the team. But if they get the sense, well, I think Bill's going to be here another 3 years. I better go get a job somewhere else.
Now, not
I like
to get
that.
All drama behind the scenes, but it's not silly to think Patriots Texans could meet in the AFC title game, right? Come January.
Not crazy.
I think the Texans are a contender.
I like Deshaun Watson.
Now, obviously, the Patriots are always in the AFC title game.
They're a pretender when it comes to the playoffs. They make the playoffs, but they're always
they're in the mix, even though they're 1-3 in playoffs and they've lost twice in wild card games.
They're going to get over that hump at some point.
Well, Bill O'Brien doesn't have much longer to
probably
get over that hump.
But my question would be, how do you feel if you're Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, Jonathan Kraft, that Nick Caserio could literally be working for you with an eye on working for the opponent?
See, I agree with that. That's really weird. And even trade deadline time, should we really trade a first-round pick? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. I'm not going to be here to draft it. What do I care? But we should go all in.
Does he have mixed allegiances at that point?
See, I don't think so. I mean,
Bill Parcells in the Super Bowl?
Right. You're a human being. I know you're trying to do your best for your current employer, and you probably think you're capable of in your mind, compartmentalizing spread. But at some point, you're a human being.
Yeah, but I understand that. I understand. I think that it's more so where Bill and Nick have talked about him moving on someday, right? Unless they don't like each other, which is
hard for me to believe.
Yeah, it's very difficult for me to believe as well. I think he's probably looking at it like, here's the reason why I'm doing this, Nick, okay? You'll be free to go next year, but here's why I'm doing it this year. They probably talked about it, but to think that Nick Caserio is going to be doing what he needs to do with the Patriots and then getting text messages from Billy O'Brien like, hey, what's the game plan for this week? You know what I mean?
No, he's not going there, but I mean, he's a little, distracted.
Well, but even if it's talking to him on the phone when they're both at home, sitting out. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
But you would almost.
Belichick's driving me crazy.
You
know how he is.
But you want your GMs and your player personnel directors and all that, you want them kind of focused on the present and the future of the team. Right. And if their future isn't with the team, then I feel like that's a little bit of a conflict.
The way Belichick operates is that the future of the team is right then and there. He's focusing on...
Well, not really. He trades in the next draft every year.
No, but he's focusing during the season. I'm saying he's focusing on...
Oh, on the season, I got it. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I actually think Nick is somebody within the organization who is allowed to think long-term.
Yes, because he's in that position.
He's above... He's not affecting the week-to-week focus of the team. And I think Rich's point would be, where's his long-term focus now?
I think his long-term focus is if you're in that situation and you know that you want to go elsewhere, I think your long-term focus is still hey, I'm going to do what I need to do here, but ultimately I know I'm going to be somewhere else next year, but I'm still going to work for the team as I'm trying to help this team move forward. I'm not going to go, I saw this kid out of University of Chicago. I'm not telling Bill about it. I'm going to wait till I get to
Keep
Houston.
Keep that under my hat.
Right.
After trending now, Ben Volen did an interview down in Houston, so we'll get the sense on whether or not this was maybe
so he
an
won't
opinion
come on
piece.
With us.
Maybe, we haven't heard back. Rossi, we're efforting?
Convenient.
I've reached out to him
several times.
He's hiding.
Yeah, Ben Volen's
maybe Shimes.
Because
Andy used to work for the Patriots. Can't you finagle something?
Ben Volen doesn't work for the Patriots.
He works for the Globe.
Why not ask him to bring Brady on?
Because of his column, it seems like it's fact.
You think? So we'll hear what he said. Maybe there's some backtracking. I don't know. But first, we got trending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Latest on the Celtics, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Al Horford is not going to exercise his player option. $30 million player option in the last year of his deal. Although all signs do point to maybe a long-term deal with the Celtics. Not at $30 million annually, but if you give him 3 years at, don't know, 60 million, something like that. Maybe that's what it ends up being. Jermaine Wiggins, Andy Hart in for Dale today. And
Wiggy's questioning the decision.
Wiggy doesn't this?
I know. I'm just asking a few questions.
Okay.
On, you know, is he leaving money on the table? But I like the fact that he did do this, because now what that does is that opens up the door for you to have more cap space and you to have more money, which allows you to now figure out what you need to do if you're the Boston Celtics.
You have more cap space. I texted with my capologist friend.
Oh.
And I said, with Horford gone, does that give them space for a max guy? He said, no. He goes, if they renounce all their free agents, Morris, Rozier, etc., they will only have about $28 million in cap room, which is still a few million short of a max.
Well, which is
but
wrong.
But you're getting
which is
there.
Wrong because I used
well,
my...
let's not get into minutia. This guy would know better than we would.
Well, no, I did the trade machine.
It was Ainge.
Unless Ainge has the trade machine.
Do you think the trade machine?
Yeah, I put...
All right, so what's next for the Celtics? Okay. What does this mean to you?
Here's where we go from here, and I put this into the trade machine.
Okay.
And this is what the Celtics have to do.
What do they have to do?
They have to pick up the phone. Very similar to Nick Caserio, he wants to get to Houston. You have to pick up the phone with the Houston Rockets and say, here's what we're willing to do. We're willing to give you Tatum, Brown, Yabusele, and Smart in return for James Harden.
Wait a minute. You traded Brown and Tatum for Harden.
Yes.
They wouldn't do that, or may not have been able to do that, wanted to do that for Davis?
So now you're trading your entire team for James Harden?
Well, James Harden, we already know, is a top five player, right, in the league. We know that.
Probably.
Yeah, but so is Anthony Davis, and he's younger.
Right, but here's a guy that wants a championship, comes to the Eastern Conference. He's been in the Western Conference his whole career, knows that, hey, it's much harder to get to the NBA Finals. Right? I don't think he's ever
He made one NBA Final
he made
with
one
the Thunder.
With the Thunder, okay.
Yeah.
So he makes one NBA Finals. He's never been able to do that. I mean, win that championship.
Right. So now Harden and
Horford, Hayward, because you're able to...
Triple H!
You're right? Triple H, and then you're able to maybe get that...
He has to now go to all the games. It's a big deal. They only play his theme song. They go all in on the Triple H
and
theme.
And you're able to maybe sign one of the mid-tier free agents.
Well, you think that's a championship team?
I think that's a team that can get to the NBA Finals.
More
realistically.
I think
it could get to, but...
Yeah.
The upside of that team is concerning to me, because you have no idea what Hayward is.
No, you still don't.
And
no,
Horford,
you really don't.
Is on the back nine.
Right.
Whatever you get out of him.
Horford is. Now, do you want Horford for three more years?
He's going to be 36 at the end of that.
But,
right? He's 33 now, I think.
Right.
That
well, what's
old.
The difference if you...
I was going to say, he looks like an old 33,
Do you feel
he's a mature 33 right now.
Do you feel confident in Brown, Tatum with Horford and Hayward?
I'm swinging for the fences and saying they're both going to be superstars.
Yeah, I think you need to bank on those guys really improving and being...
But to still have...
At minimum, both all-stars, and maybe one of them emerging into an all-NBA guy.
But you still want them to play with Horford and Hayward, right?
Yeah, because I think that's the best thing you can do
so
right
now. So why not
now?
Get a top-five player that you know... Is a
no, but now those guys are gone,
right?
And then
no,
you
no,
have James Harden for 2 years.
You traded Brown and Tatum.
How are you
going to
get Hayward? Harden?
No, you traded Brown and Tatum. But if you keep Brown and Tatum, you still have Brown and Tatum playing with Horford and Hayward.
Right. That's right. What you have right now.
Right. But that's not getting you to the NBA Finals.
Maybe
if you get
so you don't have any confidence that either of those two guys is going to elevate to superstar.
Yeah, but who's your pick to win the East next year?
If you have
Milwaukee,
if you have Harden, Hayward.
Yeah, so that's a good one. But like, I wouldn't put all my money on the Bucks.
I get the Celtics in the East.
Yeah, I know you do.
If you have Harden, Hayward, and Horford, right?
Triple H.
If you have Triple H.
I am the game.
Yeah. Do you feel more
time to play the game.
Do you feel more confident that team can get you to the NBA Finals than Tatum, Brown, Horford, and Hayward?
Yes.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, though. Harden would drive you nuts watching him. Oh, unbelievable player, but holy smokes.
You said
free throws.
Because I'm not looking to get there. I'm looking to win it.
Do you think you can win with Tatum, Brown, Horford, Hayward?
I think there is a better chance, actually, because I'm swinging for the
Wait
fences.
A second. I don't get
I
how
I hit the lottery. I pulled that lever,
He's
and it went
out.
7-7-7.
See, I'm
that's not the lottery. That's a slot machine.
But, you know, I don't,
it's a much different game.
I don't get Andy's thought process here, because
I
asked him, which chance would you have a better chance of getting to the championship? And he said
Harden.
Right.
Because then
he
goes,
Hold on.
One at a time, please.
Let me finish. I got to make my point. But then he goes.
Let's go. Hurry up.
Do you have one in there?
Yes.
Is it mixed in there
somewhere? Then he goes, Brown, Tatum, Horford, Hayward.
Stop naming all the players.
What's
driving people nuts.
Do you understand the difference between floors and ceilings?
Yes, I do.
It's a draft top.
Yes. Bottom. I got it.
Am the I upside floor, down?
Or am I standing? No, you're right side up. The floor for the Harden team, I do think, is higher because yes. he's a superstar.
You have an MVP candidate right. every
the
year.
The ceiling for Brown and Tatum is higher because you're hoping.
And it's longer term.
Longer term, but they both might be superstars.
I give you
they
longer term.
They both might be top 10 players. Let's say they're not top 5. What if those two turn into top 10 players?
Well, now you're cooking. Oof. Now you got something on your hands
here.
If
they turn into top 10 players?
Yes.
And I don't think it's outrageous to think that Tatum could be top 10.
How much weed you smoke on your drive?
I don't think it's crazy. Or maybe top 15. You don't think Tatum could be top 15? Look at what some of these other guys have done. Look at
you have Lowry as a top 20 player.
He's out of his mind. Look up what Paul George did his first 2 years in the league, and Jimmy Butler's first 2 years in the league, and Kawhi Leonard his first 2 years. Look at all these guys' first 2 years in the league.
I understand that.
There's usually a big jump. Now, LeBron's different. There's a handful of guys that just hit the ground running their rookie year. But a lot of guys, it takes them a while to go from 14 points a game to 25 points per game. I think Tatum has a chance.
Okay, I'm just kind of looking.
Even Giannis. Giannis was not much his first few years in the league. Now he's the best player in the league.
So he's like 20 pounds a month.
So do you feel like the Ringer is a good website?
What are you asking me about websites for?
Because I'm going at the top 25 players in the NBA.
What about Jermaine Wiggins?
What's the date on that?
Hold on. The
2017?
No, February 18, 2019.
All right, so this trade deadline. Yes. Top 25 players in the league?
Yep.
All right, I'll entertain this.
Guess who was number 25th?
I'll allow
25.
Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry.
supposed to be a down year in the league.
But I'm going to go right to the top 10 because you said that you think they could be top 10 players in the league.
And you don't. Do you dispute that?
Rip through them. Are you at the bottom? Go 25 through 24.
No,
You're going to go 1 through 25?
I'm going to go 10 through 1.
All right.
Okay, because they have LeBron James at 10, Anthony Davis at 9, Kawhi Leonard at 8.
Move him up, maybe.
The kid Jokic at 7, Joel Embiid at 6.
Oh, that's too
Kevin
high.
Kevin Durant at 5. They had Curry at 4. Paul George at 3, Harden at 2, and Giannis at 1.
Are you sure this isn't like the MVP candidates?
No, it's top 25 players.
All right. Paul George seems a little high to me. He's great, but that's
a little high. This was through like the first
through the first six games or something. All right. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So do you think that Tatum and Brown could be
amongst those names? Yeah, because LeBron's going to be off that list in a couple of years.
Right. Well,
Joel Embiid's always hurt.
Right. You got Damian Lillard who's going to climb into that list, right?
And there's always people coming in. No, there is.
Zion or
whoever. But Tatum is one of those guys coming in. He was a one and done number 3 pick in the draft.
Right.
Was really good his first year. Led the team in the playoffs all the way to the conference finals. Kyrie Irving hurt him. He regressed as a player because of Kyrie Irving. He'll be better next year than he was this year.
I definitely don't see Brown, and I don't see Tatum of being top 10 players in the league. Maybe they get to top 20.
I don't think Brown will ever. I'm with you on that. I don't think he ever will. He'll be like a fringe all-star, but he won't be.
Maybe Tatum gets to 20, 18, but you're not winning an NBA title.
Very specific.
18th.
I'm just throwing
the 18th.
He quickly thought of the 17 ahead of him in 3 years.
Right, well,
but so you look at the Raptors this year.
Yes.
They have, and we'll play this game, they had 2 top 25 players.
Yes.
Do you think those two guys could be top 25 players in a year or two?
No. I see Tatum might be in there.
Hart?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I think they could.
Now, the problem is.
But you just said you don't think Brown could be up there.
Yeah, but 25 is not. That's not even an all-star. There's only 24 all-stars, so 25 he could
then
be.
Then you get into the debate, though. They had Kawhi, a top.
Correct.
They had him at
8.
I think most of us would have him at 5. Let's call him
a top 10 player.
Yeah, you're right. 100%. You still need a top 5 player, and that's the question. Do they emerge into that group?
Because if they're 24 and 25, that's not a title.
But here's one of the things. So this may look
7 and 22. You're not getting away with that.
This may seem like no big deal, but every 2 years they do either the World Cup or they do the Olympics in basketball. And Jason Tatum is on the Team USA.
Listen to me.
Jason Tatum's on the Team USA preliminary roster right now.
Christian Laettner was on the Dream Team.
That's not my point. My point is he's not the greatest player in the world. My point is that's where those guys get together and talk about playing together. What if Jason Tatum strikes up a friendship with Donovan Mitchell? Then Donovan Mitchell says, I want out of Utah, and now he joins the Celtics.
What if it goes the other way?
He's going to go to Utah.
What if Donovan Mitchell goes, hey,
what if they both go somewhere?
No, he's
why
not.
Why don't you, we could go to the Knicks.
Right.
Yeah, he could. No, I suppose
careful
you could.
What you speculate on.
All right.
Could
all right.
Be
so
bad.
Add Al Horford not opting in, not using his player option, although he could be back. So what does that mean for you? And I guess, do you even want Horford for 3 more years? Because that seems to either he's gone
right.
or you're getting him for 3 years.
So
I don't think they'd give him a four-year deal.
Let's take, feels like an MLB deal, like where you want him for two and you got to pay for three or four.
Let's
take Horford off the table, right? So let's now say because he opted out, so he's a free agent.
Yeah,
so
let's say he's back, but okay.
Well, let's say he doesn't return.
Right,
so now you're going into the season with Brown, Tatum, Smart, and Hayward.
Yes.
Do you like that?
I don't love it.
It's... not
feels like I need at least one more to
it's
play
not,
games.
You do. So we can get into, there's NBC Sports Boston had a realistic, I know your James Harden one to you might be realistic.
I don't think
you can make they had a realistic
work
target, a realistic target, and a guy who is an all-star on who the Celtics could get. We'll get into that coming up next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, I lean towards Beal just because he's the obvious guy that could be moved. Ted Leonsis, the owner in Washington, loves Bradley Beal, but a new GM could walk in there and say, look, I've got John Wall probably not playing next season. Bradley Beal has 3 years left on his contract. He is an enormously valuable trade asset. Can you get a Bradley Beal without throwing a Jason Tatum in a trade? I don't know, but Bradley Beal is the next big star, I think, that could be available.
And him and Tatum have a relationship, having gone to the same high school. I think if you were trying to make sure Jason Tatum was here and happy for a long time, you find a way to make that deal.
Chris Mannix, Chris Forsberg on NBC Sports Boston, talking about a potential trade acquisition for the Celtics. Back here in Dale and Keefe, we got Jermaine Wiggins and Andy Hart in today. They're talking about Bradley Beal, who is a two-time All-Star. He is a guy who's only 25 years old. I guess he's going to be 26 real soon. So 26 next year. Been in the league a little while. Has gotten better just about every single season.
Yep.
This past year, of course, John Wall was hurt, so Beal had to really step up. He is a great shooter. I am a big fan of Beal, and this one seems more realistic, no offense, Wiggy, than, say, James Harden does.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, the James Harden is swing for the fences.
James Harden is certainly swinging for the fences.
Bradley Beal is a nice double.
Yeah, but you can win games with doubles.
You can't win championships with doubles.
You don't think Bradley Beal helps this team out a lot more?
I think he helps this team out. I'm not saying he doesn't. But like Andy said, it's about winning a championship, right?
Yes, it is.
But we just talked about, you don't have a top 10, maybe.
No.
But if you get Beal.
Is Beal on that list? Pull up your ring.
Yes,
top 19. 25.
He's
19.
He's 19.
Oh, so I like now, that. Now, hey, now we're knocking
Tatum,
on the door.
Brown, yeah. Beal.
But you're not going to be 320s. Able to, you're not going to be able to keep Brown.
Well, not according. You like the website CBSSports.com.
Oh, God.
And
we're a big website show.
Yeah. They have
it's all
their
about crediting.
NBA draft, 8 possible trades.
Right.
They have Bradley Beal to the Celtics as number 3.
Ooh, for what? What would the Celtics have to give up for Bradley Beal?
Wizards get Marcus Smart.
Ooh, okay. I'm already kind of hesitant.
Aaron Baines.
All right, I'll do that.
Ooh, Aaron Baines.
Yabusele.
Okay, I'll do that.
Oh, people aren't going to like that. Weird Celtics Twitter is not going to like the Yabusele trade.
The number 22 pick.
Okay.
And the 2020 first-round Memphis pick.
Okay, so the Memphis pick is the most valuable thing on there because
on
that
list,
could
be
really high. Yeah.
Could be a lot. Could be a lot of them.
Could be a high lot.
Number one overall, right?
Could potentially be number
because
one overall.
Because next year it's 6 protected, and then after that
then
it's,
unprotected.
It's unprotected.
And if you take a look at what Memphis has got right now,
they
not
stink.
Much.
Yeah,
they are. They're real bad. But really, so you're just taking Smart, as far as like,
so you got
Smart
keep
Baines,
Brown,
Smart,
right. You keep Tatum,
yeah.
Right. You get Beal, you have potentially Horford resigns, and you have Hayward.
But this would be my question, and obviously Beal and Kyrie Irving are very different in the sense that, you know, Kyrie's the point guard, more ball dominant than Beal. However, Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, you look at it, it's like, oh, that's a lot of talent, but it didn't mesh at all.
Right.
Could Brown, Tatum, Hayward, and Beal work?
I don't know. Beal's like a ball dominant player.
Well, he likes to shoot.
Right, but
he's already played with Wall. Right, he's already deferred on some level to another star.
Yes, he did.
right? Yeah, he did. So there's some familiarity there. I didn't even know that he went to the same high school.
Didn't know.
As Tatum.
Fun fact, Forsberg. I like that. Maybe they're buddies. Maybe they stay together.
The other thing you said, he's only 25 years old, right?
Soon to be 26.
26 so, real soon. This month, 26.
So let's call him 26. 26. So he's still young.
Yes.
Yeah. And
Two more years under contract, both at like $28 million, $27
right. million. Yeah. But Averaged 25.5 points per game this last year.
He's trending towards...
Didn't miss a game the last two seasons.
He's trending towards being the top dog.
Correct.
Yes.
Now if you come here, where is Tatum trending?
Did you hear that he's friends with him, though?
That's going to help. You still have Brown
It's
here.
A buddy comedy. Two alphas.
Yes. Yes. What's better than one alpha dog? Two alpha dogs.
And that's why you still have Brown here. Now Brown becomes the third wheel.
Yes. He's okay with that.
I don't think he's okay with that. I don't think he is...
Come on, expecting let's be to be
the third wheel.
The MVP of the league.
No, but I don't think he's thinking about being a third wheel. I think he's thinking more.
But was he the number one guy 2 years ago? No. And was he having a great time and playing really well?
What, you're talking about the year they went to game seven?
Yes.
I would say.
You think he was mad because Tatum was getting more shots?
No. But I would say that 2 years ago, all those guys, both of those guys were kind of on an equal playing field. I don't think there was a number one dog.
I think
it was his second year, right?
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, okay, he's the number three overall pick. Now he should be able to turn it around. And then the thing that happened was Jason Tatum, his rookie year, played so well when he got the opportunity.
So you think Jalen Brown wants to be the man, so you don't even want him then?
No. I'm saying there's got to be an issue. There's going to be an issue.
So you're going to say that about every team then?
No,
right?
No,
every team has
a
guy.
If they don't defer to the roles that they want to play. And what was the biggest problem?
Gordon Hayward was a big problem because Gordon Hayward wasn't right. And they kept playing him like he was.
Right, and Kyrie was a problem.
No. The problem was this year is that a lot of those young guys, and we heard it afterwards, did not want to. Even Terry Rozier did not want to buy.
Terry Rozier can go pound sand.
Did not want to buy into the rules that Stevens was asking.
Right, but the roles are going to change in this scenario. There's already a relationship between Beal and Tatum.
Right.
There's already a relationship between Tatum and Brown.
Correct.
We've seen them work together, correct?
Right. Yes.
Right. So now if Tatum is just sort of the guy who runs it together.
We've seen Tatum and Brown have success before they thought they were anything. But once we saw them get some love and do well.
Yeah, but the big problem with that is because then Kyrie was reinserted.
But then their personality.
And that made things way different.
But now you're inserting Bradley Beal.
I don't think Beal doesn't strike me as a Kyrie Irving type.
No.
I could be wrong. I don't know Beal great, but I think at this point in the league, he's been in the league 7 years or whatever it is, 6 years, 7 years. Wouldn't you kind of know by now? Because we kind of ignored the Kyrie stuff, but the people in Cleveland were saying, like, good luck with this guy.
They were saying that. The Kyrie stuff was more about the attitude, right? It was more about...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that when you're alluding to Beal?
I'm just alluding to the person on the court and what they want to be as a player, right? I'm not talking about the attitude and off-the-court stuff that the Kyrie talked to me July 1st or, the earth is flat and this, that, and the other.
It would be a weird fit, though, I think, because...
Yes.
Not that they can't kind of, like, there's no real point guard here still.
Positionless basketball.
I guess it is. And, like, sometimes Gordon Hayward's at his best when he's kind of running the show a little bit or the offense through him.
We had a call on Saturday. The whole plan of this season was point guard, Gordon Hayward. Who brings the ball up?
Gordon Hayward.
The answer was always Gordon Hayward running through Al Horford.
Yeah, when he's back.
Now we're playing half court basketball.
Now you stumbled upon the nicknames for Bradley Beal, and this may have won you over.
I like the nicknames.
Big Panda, baby.
Because last time there was a panda in Boston,
that worked out really well.
This is a different scenario. Younger.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Weighs less.
No, that's true. He is in better shape.
Let's kind of stay away from panda.
Yeah, we're not going to go panda. All right. Also, Blue Magic. Greatest animal to ever walk.
Oh, I like Blue Magic.
99% is they eat bamboo.
Yes.
I believe is their diet.
Blue Magic.
That's from
Frank White's movie.
Breaking Bad.
No, that's from American Gangster.
Never seen it.
That's when...
he's into meth, apparently?
No, that's when... That's the name of what... Denzel Washington's character, that was the name of his cocaine he was selling, Blue Magic.
All right. Well, we have an update on Kyrie Irving as it relates to the Boston Celtics. We will get into that coming up next.
I like that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.